said.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral. Okay.
Back, episode number 151, and that was not Prince, that's Morris Day. I don't know, the song is called The Character, but Morris Day, I don't know if it's in the time, because, you know, Jay and Silent Bob, they, way back when, they gave Morris Day and the Time a lot of love in their movies. But anyway, great song, it's been stuck in my head all week, because it popped up randomly on my Spotify, so there you go, little Morris Day. Episode 151, look, I'm in the middle of baseball fever right here in Los Angeles, and having lived over a dozen years or so, the city is always hustling and bustling, and no one really gives a crap about anything, or is distracted by anything. And I've seen Lakers win championships. I've seen the Kings win Stanley Cups. But there's something about this Dodgers World Series that it's captivating the city. And I'm a little bit surprised by it. I mean, you do see a lot of Dodgers hats, but a lot of times I view it as more of like, hey, I'm repping LA more than I'm a Dodgers fan. If you see a jersey that, you know, clearly Dodgers fan. But, you know, you go into the grocery stores, you see a lot of Dodgers gear everywhere, people talking about the Dodgers constantly. The news has just been all around the city bothering people at cafes about their opinions on the Dodgers. It's been surprising. And, you know, obviously winning game one, great start. Look, I'm pulling for the Dodgers. They're my National League team. And as a baseball fan, I mean, to have the Royals do it in 15 and possibly have the Dodgers do it this year, you know, I've been baseball heaven. And even if they don't, which just making the World Series for the first time in 29 years in the Dodgers' case, and it had been 30 years in the Royals' case, you know, that would be that'd be a nice start, I would like to say, for the Dodgers. But we'll get into that. We have Mark Cassidy from the Get Down Boys and from the Hillbenders on. He's a diehard Dodgers fan. And we'll also have Davey Wester this week, who Davey and I just completed a nice, I don't think it was like 10-day run of shows all throughout the Midwest down into Springfield. And I kind of pick his brain about hockey because he's a hockey guy now. And I know it's just because he lives in Minnesota, and it kind of drives me nuts because I don't hate hockey. I just don't know anything about it, is really, you know. And that's why Joe Bartnick, who was on previously with has a great hockey podcast if you are a hockey fan, called Puck Off, and he does a lot of almost daily videos and updates, and he definitely has his finger on the pulse with the NHL, all things hockey. So, you know, definitely check that out. But you know, as far as the Dodgers go here, or as far as the World Series, a couple of things. One, love that Clayton Kershaw finally got over the seventh. Oh, his ERA is 25 in the seventh inning. Well, that's, you know, because he got pulled out of a game with a couple guys on, and then a couple relief pitchers gave up hits. And clearly, if you have two or three bad seventh innings, your ERA will be inflated. I'm assuming that's down to 12 now or something like that since he's but Kershaw's looked great, and there's no doubt he's a Hall of Famer, but at this point in his career he's striving for that upper echelon of legendary. And you know, Sandy Koufax's name is constantly brought up. Sandy's at the Dodgers games all the time, not just during the playoffs, and is still a very visible Dodger. And so I think, from what I understand about Kershaw, obviously he's got this routine he does every day. He studies, he works hard, he dissects the game and pinpoint accuracy and all of his pitches, off speed, everything else. Like, I think he's mastered everything except for, you know, taking down Sandy Koufax. And I mean, and obviously, what you have to be legendary to even, you know, consider doing something like that. But it's going to take, I mean, a game seven type. It's going to look, here's what's going to have to happen. Obviously, he comes back and he wins. He's got to win. I think it'd be game four he starts. And then it's got to go seven games. And then he's got to come in and either start game seven on short rest or come out of the bullpen, Madison Bumgarner style, like Giants did against the Royals in game seven of 2014 or whatever. But if he can somehow get three wins in the World Series, like, that immediately erases all the playoff doubt, which, you know, a lot of it's been erased, you know, already. But so that's been nice, just to see Kershaw kind of get some national coverage. Not that he doesn't get enough already, but, you know, with everyone watching and him dominating, that's good. On the other side, the Verlander, which is awesome. You know, he's finally got out of Detroit. And look, I don't feel sorry for him because, look, they got swept by the Yankees a couple of years. Well, I don't know if they got swept by the Yankees, but they definitely got swept in the World Series. I can't remember who they lost to. But the Tigers were in the playoffs year after year there in the late aughts, in the early, you know, 11s, 12s, that sort of thing. So, look, he's had his chance, but the fact that he's now, what, 9-0, and he got a no decision as we record this last night in Game 2. But so good for you. And it's also, he gets a little bit more national spotlight. This definitely helps his potential Hall of Fame career, especially if the Astros go on to win. But let's not also forget it. It reminds everyone to Google that sweet picture of him and Kate Upton naked in the mirror. That's just hilarious. So just wanted to, you know, remind you guys of that. But another thing, AJ Hinch, the Astros manager. I love this guy. I feel like he's probably got a great sense of humor. He's always just pretty dry, right to the point. I feel like he's made some good, you know, he didn't pull Springer when he was slumping. He's just had faith in his guys. And, you know, I former Royals catcher years ago. But so that's been kind of cool, like just to get to know AJ Hinch a little bit better. I'm trying to think. I'll tell you what. Let's just go into we'll go into some more World Series talk right now with Mark Cassidy from the Get Down Boys / Hillbenders. And real quick before we go into that, Don Carlos Taco Shop, La Jolla, California. If you're in Southern California, San Diego, anywhere Oceanside down there, it's worth hitting up Don Carlos. It's on Pearl Street, Kitty Catty Corner from the world famous Comedy Store down in La Jolla. But great food. Trevino Burrito is my personal favorite. I usually get that whenever I roll down there. And then so follow them on Twitter, I think Instagram, at Eat a Burrito. And also, if you need any shirts, hoodies printed up, any, you know, collared shirts, stuff like that, go to unionpresskc.com. That's unionpresskc.com. I believe right now they got a special where you can get 20 shirts printed up for, it's like $6 or $6.50 a shirt. It's really cheap. So if you need jerseys for softball or basketball or family reunion, or just, I always like making up a stupid shirt just to make fun of someone, to hand out around a group of friends, a shirt, you know, pinpointing someone's you know, mistakes in their lives, something like that. But yeah, if that's something that you need, go to unionpresskc.com. When we get back, we'll be with Mark Cassidy of the Get Down Boys and the Hillbenders. Now I'm for
forcing myself into what you already been through. And darling, I can't help the way I feel. You need something stronger, a drug to kill the hunger, and ease the awful pain of living here. Now I'm the kind of love it hurts to look at.
All right, that was the Get Down Boys. We're here with Mark Cassidy of the Get Down Boys and the Hillbenders. Huge Dodgers fan, great, incredible musician.
How you
feeling? As we're recording, it's 1-1. The Dodgers seemingly had the game two wrapped up with Jansen on the mound. And next thing you know, it turns into what some people are saying is one of the best playoff games since the 2011 World Series. I think it was Game 6, the Texas Cardinals.
That's the
David Freese, Josh Hamilton battle. But how are you feeling right now? First of all, this is your first World Series.
Yeah, well, I was 1 year old last time the Dodgers in '88. So it's been this is my first conscious World Series.
And it's I'm new to the game, Dodger fan. I started rooting for the Dodgers, I would say, 2003. 2004, the first Dodger game I went to, they played the Expos,
and oh, nice.
So I guess it was 2003. So I'm late to the game, but you know, recently, I mean, spoiled. Yes, baseball fan, it's hard to win the World Series, but just a lot of frustration and not even making it to the World Series. Not with the Don Mattingly experiment, not with the Joe Torre experiment. You know, back 10-12 years ago. I mean, yeah, you had the Frank McCourt, that whole mess, and buying, splitting up the parking lots, and all this financial stuff that he created. But, I mean, 5 straight years of division championships, no World Series, not even really close to the World Series in 29 years. So does that feel like just in itself a big burden off a Dodgers fan's chest?
It's been, it's been an emotional roller coaster. You know, every year you're like, oh, here it is. You know, of course. There were some ultimate heartbreakers, you know, a couple of times against the Cardinals as of late. Last year against the Cubs, we barely squeaked by the Nationals, having Kershaw pitching in the ninth inning. You know, that was a first for all of us. You know, we knew it was coming around the corner, and so we all kept a lot of faith as fans. Everyone believes in Dave Roberts, man. He's definitely taking it in the right direction.
It's amazing. I mean, just to give you an idea of kind of like AJ Preller down in San Diego is supposed to be this baseball, the up and coming new wave of general manager guy, sleeps 4 hours a night type of dude. And if you remember, he was part. They brought in Matt Kemp and Upton, both Uptons, and James Shields, and none of it worked. And they just blew it up and was just horrible. But they had Dave. Mm-hmm. They had Dave Roberts there. And in fact, he's like a trivia question. He was so they had fired Buddy Black, and I think that's who it was. But
it was.
Yeah. That's right. And then so then he intern head coach for a game, and then they brought in a full time replacement. So it's the first time in history that there were 3 different head coaches in 3 games for a Major League Baseball team. But anyway, they let it go. That, you know, and so that just says a lot about the Padres. And
oh yeah, well, you know, the difference about Roberts over in LA is Roberts is a Dodger. You know, his heart's in Los Angeles. And see, that's when we had, you know, a bunch of Yankees coming over trying to be managers of a beautiful West Coast team. There's no reason it wasn't working. We needed a Dodger backup there.
In fact, I remember the first season, so I guess it must have been 2004, because I remember Dave Roberts on the Dodgers and then them trading mm-hmm. him to Boston in September, and then all of a sudden, you know, the stolen base in the
infamous.
Yeah, the ALCS and onto the World Series and all that kind of stuff. But it's somewhat, especially to go, 52-9 or whatever it was over the 61 or game stretch, or 52-10 or whatever it was, breaking records, and then to hit that, lose 16 out of 17 there in August. Was there ever any concern with you in regards to the losing streak?
I think the, of course, you never want to see, the Dodgers or whatever team you love slouch like that. But I think that I wasn't too worried about it. And here's the reason. I thought that they were testing out some waters. They were seeing who was ready for postseason. They weren't worried about getting the, breaking records and the most wins, and they stayed focused on the postseason, and it showed completely. He tried out Granderson, which we all kind of, he's definitely struggling.
Yeah, I feel at the end of the season there, he got hot for a couple weeks, and that was great right then, and much needed. And so as far as picking him up. Okay, we're back. As far as growing up in LA as a Dodgers fan, you grew up playing baseball. Also, what's it been like over the years just going to the game, the Dodgers experience? I know you try to – I mean, it seems like you're at 10 to 20 games a year, if you can be.
Yeah, I mean, definitely entertained the season tickets idea for sort of a cheaper route. But I think that – it's a magical stadium, and it's always been, it always has been, when I was a little kid, you get this old feeling every time you walk into Dodger Stadium, the faded blue sign, Los Angeles Dodgers, home of the Dodgers. I mean, it's like from the very walk up, Vin Scully
Well, that now they've got that new Jackie Robinson statue that's amazing.
Oh yeah,
they brought back this old Brooklyn Dodgers style bobbleheads that are 10 feet tall out front.
In
front of the ticket gates that are great. They've really tried to embrace their history, and they've done a great job with that, just with pictures and things like that all around the stadium.
And that's a beautiful thing about the Dodgers is all that great history. I was over in Vero Beach over there at historic Dodger Town and kind of did the old tour, and it's just pure history. You watch any sort of documentary on that, and it's a magical organization. They were on the everyone were team players back then. Everyone was true, and everyone bunked up together, and it was a place filled with history, so that was really cool.
I'll have to check that out. I've thought about that because I've been in Orlando before and been had a day and a half really to kind of do nothing except for not go to Disney World, and I was like, well, it's 4 hours kind of each way. I'm like, I'll wait till another time, when the time's right. But yeah, because they just recently moved out to Arizona, maybe a handful of years ago.
Make sure you call ahead and see if there's going to be someone around. I had to sweet talk a bunch of people to get in. They were having some sort of spring training for a youth team or something, and it was tough to get. Everything was kind of blocked off in certain areas, and I had to kind of weasel my way around and try to find. But I did. I did.
As a true Dodger fan, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Got it done.
But I didn't, travel all the way. It was during a tour, so I made Nolan do the detour with me and go and suffer through historic Dodger Town. So thank you, Nolan.
Well, and Mark and I, listeners, actually went to opening day last year in 16, I guess, down in San Diego, which was a Dodgers home game. Really, they call Petco Chavez Ravine South, and it's not even a joke. I mean, it's a half Dodgers fan at least, especially when they're good. But the Dodgers won 15-0. Kershaw had, I don't know, 8 or 9 strikeouts, 12 maybe.
Hey, you gotta respect that one. You got the video.
That's right. Okay,
the one Padres fan. Enjoy last place,
Caminetti. Yeah, enjoy last place, Caminetti. Yeah, there's a really funny video. It's up on our Facebook page.
Well, I may not be alone each time you see me. I'll show up when I promised that I would. But still, I won't deny you or mistreat you.
Okay, yeah, so we're walking out of Petco, and there's a huge Let's Go Dodgers clap going.
Huge.
And so I pulled out my camera, and this one Padres fan, and a Ken Caminetti, who's awesome, you know, unfortunately died in, I think, an alley in New York, had some addiction problems, things of that nature, but the Padres fan is yelling, "Go back to skunky-ass L.A., in cadence with the Let's Go Dodgers, and that's great. But yeah, that video's up on our Sportsholics Facebook page. But where else have you seen the Dodgers play before?
Let's see, AT&T. I've been to Bush Stadium,
San Francisco, St. Louis,
St. Louis. Let's see, Angel Stadium, and Petco, San Diego. I think those are the only ones.
Very nice. I caught, it was part of the, I think it was game 5 of their losing streak out in Phoenix at the Diamondbacks. Oh. And that was...
I've seen them over in Cactus League as well, over in Glendale.
Oh, okay. Yeah, which is nice because it's on the west side of Phoenix, so you don't have to commit to driving all the way across over to like Mesa or Tempe, which could take, which is like 2 hours if you don't time that properly.
Yeah,
You know, which actually you, as much as anybody else I know that's on the road constantly, have been in the car and probably sat in major traffic in every major city. As far as you recently just released an EP with the Get Down Boys, I'm assuming self-titled.
Yeah, we couldn't agree with the name, so we were just like, screw it. Yeah, we'll just go with Get Down Boys.
Hey, less is more. But so talk about this group. You know where it came from. You know, like I mentioned earlier. You know. We met originally through the Hillbenders, another great band that you play with and you're actually on tour with also. And actually, if you can go to the getdownboys.com, T-H-E, thegetdownboys.com, and then also the Hillbenders, which is just Hill, H-I-L-L, Benders, .com. Just check out tour dates and stuff like that. But as far as the Get Down Boys, like where'd that come from? Are these like old friends of yours or...
You know, it's funny how that came about because that band has taken many different forms, and it actually started out about 6 or 7 years ago here in Los Angeles, a group of guys that met each other out in Berklee School of Music. They all knew each other from over there, and they all decided to move west and try to start something over here, and then they picked up a couple of local people, and they moved on to different bands, and then you know, it's taken all these different forms over the years, and just kind of led. So how I met the Get Down Boys is one of the old banjo players for the Get Down Boys, the banjo player before me, Matt Brewer. He lives in Kansas City. And he's from Springfield, Missouri. And so he went to school with Gary, the Hillbenders bass player.
And so they just like, we connected over Facebook and set up a, they actually came out to Missouri and did a little tour with us. It was called BAM, Bluegrass Bluegrass Avalanche of, over Missouri. So,
no, I like that. I'm still wanting to put on a yearly bluegrass festival down at the river, just because I feel I feel like if we plan that out and, you know, just charge 20, 30 bucks for like two nights, you know, and try to get 200 or 300 people, then you guys financially are pretty happy with that, you know.
And we can fucking float for once.
Oh, I know.
We always got to skip town because we got to go.
Dude, it's the gig life. Listeners, that's so originally, even before the Hillbenders, they were the band was called the Arkamo Rangers. And every year they would come play our float trip down in southern Missouri. And
where was the first one? Was that on the Kings?
Yeah, no, they've all been on the North Fork River.
Oh, is that right?
It's just before. We stayed at this place called Pettit's, and the guy was kind of a dick. He'd be like quiet after 10. We're like, dude, there's no one around here. Like, and we just, there's like, listener, you got to understand, we would pull in with 40 people, like just totally buy this guy out. And then he would be bitching about, oh, it's too loud. It's like, come on, man. We got an acoustic band playing, you know,
like they were a pretty rowdy bunch.
Yeah, and so later on we moved it to Dot Mill, which I don't even know if that's around because they got really bad flooding. Yeah, but
I think
that was great because that was a stage and more of like a live music, semi-live music venue. And that was
we could get a PA in there and everything, so it kind of boosted it up a little bit. But then there was a bar, so
yeah, full of Fireball, if I remember correctly, it was the. But
yeah, they named this shot after the Hillbenders. They called it the Hillbender because we were calling it Benderfest at the time.
And will in the future also.
And we'll continue. And the it was the worst damn shot I've ever had in my life. I forget what it was, but it was like it was something just atrocious. It was like. I just Fireball mixed with like I don't know it was awful.
They're like it's a Goldschlager and Aftershock mixed with Fireball.
Oh, you got to ask Nolan what it was or Gary because they know what was in it. I can't remember what was in it, but it was horrendous.
Oh, they probably just took like the spill mat underneath where they pour, just poured that into it. Like here you go.
Yeah, it suits. Hey, you know, it suits.
So the Get Down Boys were essentially the proposition came to like, hey, would you be interested in having one of the baddest asses in bluegrass banjo picking in America in your band? And they were like, yeah, okay, we might be down for that.
Well, Matt had quit. He wanted to go travel and find himself. I don't know what exactly his main goal was, but he was out in Asia.
Look, my buddy who went to find himself, Hawaii for 6 months, and then now Thailand for like a year. And I'm just like, I don't know, it just reminds me of, there's a Bottle Rocket reference, the first Wes Anderson movie, but it kind of reminds me of Anthony when he like goes away. He's like, I had to go. He's like, I was exhausted. I just like, dude, is it? I mean, I don't know. I just Thailand. You know what? I knew before you even said it. I was like, I bet that motherfucker's over there living off of $7 a day.
Oh man, he said it was cheap. He'd post these pictures of these, you know, 4 or 5 star resorts, and he's saying that he's spending, you know, $10 on a suite. You know, it's insane.
Yeah,
I need to go find myself.
Yeah, exactly. but there was obviously a natural chemistry, you know, because I've seen the videos and listened to a few songs. They sound great. And so is that something that did kind of happen pretty quickly, or was it just a lot of practice?
Yeah, so like I was saying, there was Mick, you know, different members in and out, and there's actually only one original member left in the band, Evan, who's the bass player, but We've got this really fantastic dobro player, tenor singer Israel Parker from Cincinnati. He's just a stellar guy, stellar player. And then we have Scott Gates. We have Scott Gates that's lead singing. You doing all right?
Oh yeah, exactly. That's what's good with volume up, volume down. You know what I mean?
Oh no.
Yeah, you can kill mics, but which I was gonna say, my brother's in Cincinnati. And I know you guys will probably end up there at some point with the band, so I'll keep an eye out because you know I'm assuming at some point you'll make it to that Ohio Valley.
Oh yeah, we got him, and so we also got this guy Scott Gates. Who's originally mostly a mandolin player. This guy can play the back end out of a mandolin. It's amazing. And truly amazing voice, you know, writes great tunes. He's from here. He's from actually from Hesperia area. And then Evan Windsor on bass, fantastic bass player. One of the original members, and he's from somewhere in Connecticut. Fairfield, Connecticut. Does that sound correct?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that sounds uppity and very white. So that fits that fits my definition of Connecticut, I feel like. Yeah.
He's definitely his parents are British, I think. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
One of the last revolutionaries left standing. And again, listener, you can go to thegetdownboys.com. For tour dates, you know, downloads, videos, and stuff like that. And the same again with the Hillbenders also, which actually got some shows coming up November 3rd, 4th in Brainerd, Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and then November 17th in Scottsdale, Arizona. Shit, man, I might just come out for that one.
You got to do it. You got to do it. And it, everyone would be so stoked to see it too, man. And also, right after that, we fly after the
there you go. Yeah, November 19th, Houston, Texas.
Right over to Houston. I hope I'm going to be able to wear my Dodgers gear loud and proud over there.
dude, that's awesome. You know what? Like, I've got a gig up in the Bay Area on November 16th, that Thursday night.
Uh-huh.
But we're supposed to drive back immediately, get back to L.A. at like 3 a.m., and so, I mean, really, it's 6 hours to get there. So, it's enough time to sleep, and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. And see what comes about.
Hell, they're practically giving away flights to Phoenix too. probably cost you way less.
Yeah, $70 probably.
You live right by the airport too. That's like a $10 Uber.
Nah, it's like $27, but still, it's not that bad. Well, you know what, we'll leave the interview here playing some Hillbender stuff. Is there anything you want to plug, social media or anything like that?
You know, not too much. You know, there's some big stuff coming up for the Get Down Boys. Keep your eye out for some big stuff coming out on Hillbenders. And, you know, we're really pushing it, really trying to do this thing. And let's go Dodgers!
Doyers, yeah, Doyers. Hey, did you see that guy that jumped into the bullpen? What a fucking...
Oh, yeah, what an asshole.
It's like, dude, just come on. We're on a national stage. Just represent. This is our... As Dodgers fans, this is our opportunity to just be normal fucking people. You know what I mean?
The crazy thing is, you know that guy, he paid, you know, $900 for that ticket and then gets, you know, chucked in one of the greatest postseason matches, you know.
Yeah.
Even though the Dodgers lost, that's if you're a baseball fan, you know that was nuts though. Game.
Plus everyone in the bullpen's like, dude, I'm just gonna tee off. I mean, you know, there were so many arm bars going into that guy's face, like from all the pitchers. They're like, dude, screw this guy.
Was that a coach or was that I forget who it was? But he just put his elbow right in that dude's throat.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, screw this punk. I remember there was someone that jumped into the fountains during like the ALDS in Kansas City, but at least I think that was in the fifth or sixth inning.
Hey, you know, the fountains, that's fair game. You don't go in a bullpen.
No, you don't. You don't mess with that. All right. And again, dude, thanks for your time. And listeners,
absolutely, man.
Go
Thank
to
you.
Hillbenders.com and the Get Down Podcast. getdownboys.com. And like I said, this is Hillbenders here leaving out all the previous songs, Get Down Boys. So you get the drift.
Cause trouble be gone, trouble be down, love be trouble free. Come on home in the old time. It ain't no trouble to me. No, it ain't no trouble to me. I got a shoulder with your name on it. If a tear come to your eye, I got ears to hear anything you fear, and a tongue that will not lie.
I thought Mark was older than that. I didn't realize he was one in 1988. But not that that matters. It's just he's been waiting his whole life. And I just had went through this recently, and it's an awesome feeling. And one thing about this World Series has pointed out to me that I am a much bigger Royals fan than Dodgers fan. And I'm watching the World Series games. I went out. I got my Dodgers World Series edition hat, which I'm wearing right now. Very comfortable. Went to two different LIDS locations to find my size. Okay, so, but it's it's just not, the roots aren't there. The roots are growing. You know what I mean? But it's only been 12 years that 13 years that I've been a Dodgers fan versus lifelong Royals fan. But again, I am watching every game, enjoying the hell out of it, loving it. But it's like I'm having this debate in my head. If there's a parade, do I go down to the parade? And right now, probably I say no, but then the sportsaholic side of me just says, you know what? It's the Dodgers victory parade. At least just go down to Pico. I'm assuming it'll go down Pico or Venice Boulevard. Just go down to, Fairfax or towards the end of it or something like that. But you got to realize, they're not going to have 5 million like in Chicago last year. But they'll definitely have like 2 million. I mean, the whole place is going to smell like hot dogs and bacon because everyone's going to, dude, they got the best corner dogs. They take those like sheet pans from like bakeries, just put a propane torch underneath it, and just throw a bunch of bacon, peppers, hot dogs. They're like $4 or $5 a piece. So that's one, So it sounds like if there is a victory parade, I'm going to go. But again, Mark, thanks for coming on. Getdownboys.com, the Hillbenders, like we mentioned, they'll be on tour here. Just go to the websites. Great. I mean, just a lot of fun live. Every time I go see the Hillbenders live, which has been probably 15 times, it's always a good time. And then try to get down to Culver City on a Sunday to see the Get Down Boys. Like I said, they play there every Sunday, which you can find out on Facebook and their website. So I'm finally getting back into LA and just settled into just Southern California life, which is just traffic. I live down in what's called the South Bay. It's like Redondo Beach and Torrance and Hermosa Beach, Manhattan, that kind of area. But it's also conveniently 20 miles from Hollywood or 30 miles from the Valley, which is where most people in the entertainment industry reside. So anytime I need to go anywhere, like this morning, went for a Dunkin' Donuts meeting overview. Some of you may have seen him. I do like these spoof-ish type TMZ videos where I play like the host that's just not like the Harvey dude from TMZ, but I just it's two things really. These clips of me just kind of making fun of celebrities, and then the second thing that's hopefully going to be would be like a scripted show about paparazzi and that sort of thing. So we were meeting about that, and it was I think it was like 23-24 miles, Venice Boulevard and Crenshaw. 23 miles took hour, 2 minutes, something like that. And then at one point, I just remember looking down and said 8 miles, 32 minutes. I was like, God, this is good to be back. Good to be back. Versus being on the road with Davey Wester, where it's like, oh, we need to be down in Springfield, Missouri by 5. It's 200 something miles. Oh, it's going to take us 2 hours and 40 minutes. Okay. Yeah, we can just leave whenever we want to. But you know, had a great time on the road, especially with Davey, longtime friend, and just he's a great comic. I mean, yeah, I've known him forever. Great times, you know, back in the day in Hollywood. But even better times, current day, just going on the road, because he's a really great comic. So we would swap off or switch out headlining / featuring. So we'd either rotate that through by show, depending on, you know, which night and that sort of thing. But no, he absolutely crushed it and just had a good time, logged, you know, a couple, it's like a 1,200 miles, something like that, you know, a couple flights, a bunch of shows, just spent some time down in Springfield, Missouri, which is actually, it's a nice mid-sized city. I'm sure there's 50 of them just like it all around the country. I don't know if that's Toledo. I don't know if that's Akron or whatever, but it's a minor league baseball city. I mean, the Cardinals AA team is there. It's a nice stadium, Hammonds Field. Been there a couple times. Went and saw Missouri State versus Memphis State, or not Memphis State, but the Memphis this past April. Mark Gruzelanic, former Royals nephew, played for Memphis, so that was interesting. But there's a little downtown, and it's being revitalized. People are living down there now. You got a couple colleges, a bunch of good food, a ton of bars, live music, and all that kind of stuff. So Davey loved it, and you know what, we get into all that kind of stuff. So actually, when we get back from break, we'll be joined by Davey Wester, longtime friend, very funny comedian, and now hockey fan. Kill the Apollo for some reason.
Red and Island Forever, two different movies, but it made sense to us. We will defend this Safeway parking lot for America. That's how we do shit. It is like, but that's the thing is like, I'm very fortunate. I come from a conventional family. I was a ring bearer at my parents' wedding. My Uncle Bill was there. I had a powder blue suit. I was styling and profiling, man. My dad had, like, he was different. My dad will put it this way. If you came up to my dad and said, hey, that's special. You have a special needs child. That's awesome. And I'd be like 8 years old, and my dad would be, the only special needs is he needs a job. That's how. My dad's the only person that ever got kicked out of parent-teacher conferences because I used to skip art. He's like, what the hell does he need to go to art? Like, have you seen my son? Shit.
Okay, so what you heard there was the comedy stylings of our next guest, Davey Wester. You can go to DaveyWester.com to find out when and where he's going to be performing, hopefully, in a city near you coming up here in the next year or so. Davey, how's it going, man? I know your Twins weren't able to sneak past the Yankees, but still a good season for you.
Yeah, it was a good season, man. We were supposed to be dead last in my mind, so, and we traded away our best players like Kinsler or whatever, and to the Nationals, and it was pleasantly surprising, and yeah, I think the Wild won tonight. Minnesota Wild won against the Islanders, so that's good.
Now I just want to give some background here to the listener. Davey and I used to work together at the Comedy Store years ago. Paid regular at the Comedy Store, very funny comedian, longtime friend of mine. Grew up in Eastern Washington, so he's got a weird, not weird, but a Washington State, Eastern Washington alliance, and sometimes Boise, definitely Gonzaga basketball, Mariners, but he's got Minnesota roots, so, and currently lives in Minnesota. So tie that in with Twins, not so much the Vikings, definitely Seahawks, but now out of nowhere, hockey fan, big fan of the Minnesota Wild. He's talking about going to Golden Gophers college hockey. What's going on? I mean, is it just that everyone is such a big fan of that you can't talk to anyone unless you're talking hockey up there?
It's basically like, you know, it's like this the only sport where the hot chicks go and it's affordable, so I mean that's where you go. And I mean, it's either talk hockey or talk Prince, and I'd rather talk hockey than Prince. So, you know, that's the only thing that goes on. We got some snow coming tomorrow, too, so that'll be exciting.
Snow already. And as end of you know what, I remember as a kid it snowing late October in Kansas City, so you know, I feel like Minnesota, you're probably past due. Has it snowed already?
No, but it's the three, but I mean, like, here's the thing is, like, we look at 3 to 4 inches, like, oh, it's only gonna be 3 to 4 inches tomorrow. So you know, there's been times, awesome. Like, I think it's, yeah.
I mean, it was 102 degrees yesterday in Los Angeles.
Yeah, don't lie about it.
I got sunburned at the beach, and I was total exposure, maybe 40 minutes tops with sunscreen. still got a little pink.
Yeah, I'll be out there in December, hopefully for like 4 days, and I'll be the only person around there that, you know, will be wearing shorts because it's 50 degrees outside. So
now, but I wanted to get to the root of the hockey thing. Was it, did you like hockey at all before you had moved there? I mean, I've known you forever.
I mean, the only thing I knew about hockey was, like, it's ingrained in, even if you're born here, when you're born here, they're taught to hate Norm Green. Norm Green is the former owner of the Dallas Stars or whatever, like, but it was the North Stars. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then they were hijacked, and then they won a Stanley Cup. And
I believe they moved in 94-95 to Dallas and then proceeded to win the Stanley Cup in 1999.
Yeah, but that's a sore point, you know, because we're the state of hockey. Detroit's the city of hockey. I mean, it's...
Hockey town?
Hockey, yeah, hockey town. And then we're the state of hockey, though. You know, so it's just something to fill the time. And it's at, like, the arena is only 4 miles from my house, so it's not, I don't think I've ever been that accessible to a professional team where it's like 4 miles from my house.
It does make it easier. I mean, I've said it a million times on the show, but when I lived in San Diego, 7 blocks from Petco, I mean, they were one of the worst teams in baseball, but I tried to go to 15, 20 games a year.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's, and if you've never been to a hockey game, I encourage you to go. I mean, you may not know what's going on, but it's one of the most action-packed sports, you know, that I've ever been to.
Well, I didn't realize how much it had grabbed hold of you. We had just, Davey and I just did like 10 or 11 shows in 9 or 10 days all around Kansas City, Kansas, Missouri, and then down in Springfield at the Blue Room. Down there. Actually, if you're listening on, I believe iTunes, maybe Stitcher, if you go to the Blue Room Comedy Club, they do a podcast that Davey and I did 2 weeks ago. I think it's like probably an episode or two back if you want to check that out. That was a good time. But we get to the show and we've just been driving for 3.5 hours. I mean, not tired, but hungry. And first thing Davey does is V-lines across the room to this TV that has, it actually got a Wild game on. There's a lot of St. Louis Blues, St. Louis people that live in Springfield, Missouri. So, like, there's a little bit of a hockey culture there. But Davey found it, went right to it. Next thing I know, he's like a kid staring at a TV across all the way across the room. And I just walked up. I'm like, what are you doing? You're like, hockey's on. Like, all excited, like it was opening day. I mean, it was, actually. Wasn't that opening day?
Yeah. It was opening day. It's like, I don't know. Maybe it's because, like, you go to a Wild game or a hockey game, and you just see jerseys. You don't see the asshole that spray paints his body like a Viking or whatever. Like, you know, everybody's dressed like civilized individuals.
Are you calling Mervis an asshole?
Yeah, Mervis, yeah. It's okay. I like Mervis, dude.
Past guest, I think he was episode 138, but we talked about snowboarding and how he was going to ski up until July, which he did because there was so much snow. But so it's just a good fan base, a good crowd, good fans to get along with.
Yeah. You know, it's not a cheap ticket, but it's like if you have like $75 here, but that's here in Minnesota because we'll always sell out.
Okay, so you say affordable. It's like you plan it out to go, but you're having a good time, and
yeah,
they're what, decent? I mean, I have no idea. Are they 500? What's their record?
Oh, this year, the last year they were good. I mean, it's early. They're second. I think they're maybe in third place. I don't know because they won today, so they got some points.
Nice, a good start.
Yeah, so it's they got six home games or whatever. They played the last two. They lost one, but they're starting slow. It's hockey goes forever. It's like NASCAR. It never seems like it ends in June.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's not true.
Yeah, it's always like, yeah. All right, Daytona. I was like, wait, was the season over with at some point? Or they're always like, all right, the first race of the year, and I'm like, I could have.
Yeah,
and it stopped. It's, like it's just been going nonstop for the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's like Daytona is the big one, and everything else like Talladega. But I mean, it just placed. It's kind of funny.
Davey's real white trash and loves some NASCAR too. I want to make that clear.
It's not a white trash. Dale Jr. retired this year. So Junior Nation is now dead.
He's no longer. I mean, he better have a son or a daughter that's ready to take those reins in the next 10 years.
Well, he's got a cousin that's racing right now. So
okay. I actually have a driver, Jimmy Johnson from San Diego. Don Carlos and I worked his charity golf event. We just set up tacos on like the 12th hole.
So you just went with the greatest NASCAR driver ever or what?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't follow NASCAR. All I know is he came up with his wife, talked to us for 5 minutes, was just a real nice dude, and thanked us for our time and being there.
You know he won like 5 championships in a row, right?
I didn't know they were in a row. I had heard of his. I knew who he was. And so when Don Carlos was like, hey, you want to? And by the way, Don Carlos, again, like we said earlier in the episode, go at Eat a Burrito on Twitter. Great. Amazing tacos, burritos. If you're ever in San Diego, they're located in La Jolla, Kitty Catty Corner from the La Jolla Comedy Store. But
they are the best. I'll tell you that. They are the best. I love them.
But he's a nice guy, and so that's my driver.
You actually met him.
Yeah, yeah. His organization actually is incredible. So they buy houses and donate them to families in need. The problem is it's so expensive in San Diego. A lot of places, apparently like cities, will work with them and say, hey, look, we'll give you these 5 houses for a little bit cheaper, just because you're going to fix them up. Whereas in San Diego, they're like, yeah, this is worth like $600,000. We can't really give you a deal on it. But anyway, they raised a lot of money and had a good time. So Eric Marino and I did some touring last spring, and you and I kind of duplicated that same run, switching the Blue Room and Stanford and Sons. For the listener at home, what's it like going out on the road with me?
It's actually a really good time. It's positive. It's uplifting. It's fun because we get to go be with people we know, and it's like when you go out on the road, and when I go out and headline a feature or whatever, it's like a blind date. You don't know if you're going to mix with somebody. Could be a good date. Could be a bad date. You don't know if you're going to really like the guy, or so. It's just nice to know somebody that you know.
Davey and I have been dating for almost 13, 14 years. So, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Sometimes, because I'm not easy, because I get aggravated at, like, little shit in the world. Meanwhile, John's very positive. It doesn't take much to,
Look, for me, whenever you get kind of grouchy or whatever, I'm not even snapping, but I'm just like, here's the deal. Fucking calm the fuck down. we're doing this, then this, and then that's going to solve the problem you're concerned about. And then immediately at that point, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm good now. You got any, I need some coffee immediately, or I'm going to kill somebody.
Well, yeah, we'll go to Come and Go. John loves that gas station.
It's the lighters, man. When you have a Come and Go lighter, one, they last forever, and two, no one else really has a Come and Go lighter, because no one, unless you're in Iowa, Kansas, Missouri. So that way, when you're back out on the West Coast, I'm a big believer in buying regional lighters so that no one steals your shit. It's really just as simple as that.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's weird because I was trying to explain. Now, you've been to Springfield and you've been to my home area. Now, how close is Eastern Washington to like Southern Missouri?
Well, I mean, very similar people. And I know, like, when I first had gone to Davies from Ephrata, I said it right? Ephrata?
Yeah.
Ephrata, yeah. Washington, about 2 hours southwest of Spokane. And several people that I met there said, oh, my parents or my grandparents are from Missouri or Southern Missouri. It was weird. It was three or four different people whose relatives had come from Missouri to settle in the wasteland that is your hometown of Ephrata.
It's not a wasteland. I mean,
there's not. First of all, it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to drive 3 to 4 hours just from the airport. But no, it was nice. We got to shoot some guns. It was a good time. But Davey and I have done, I mean, at this point, maybe 50, 60 shows together over the years, driven at least 10 or 15,000 miles in cars all over the Midwest and Washington, Oregon, and that kind of shit. So, yeah, it's good. So what'd you think of the Midwest, like to get down into Missouri and Kansas City for the first time?
No, it was good, man. I had a great time. I mean, especially when I was in Springfield, I met a lot of people that I like, and they have a lot of similarities. I'm adjusting back to Minnesota, which is different.
What's the difference between a Missouri and a Minnesota person?
A Missouri person will tell you straight up, like, how they feel. Like, they're not emotionally. They don't hide things. Minnesota, it's passive-aggressive. They're a bunch of passive-aggressive, like, Norwegians.
It's like they're enormous people, so you figure they'd be more aggressive just because, like, they physically look like they can destroy people.
Yeah. Yeah, but they don't really, like, I don't know, it's maybe an insecurity. I got in an argument earlier tonight about, like, Davey's from Washington. Like, he's not real redneck. I'm like, listen, Minnesota motherfucker, I'm from Ephrata. We'll throw you down to Irrigation Canal. Like, that's how much pride I have in my county. So, like, I don't know.
You do have the RD20 tattooed on your forearm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a lot of people in my town have some sort of Ephrata tattoo.
Now, what's the story behind the RD20 tattoo for the listeners?
It's a band that never made it, but he was my best friend, Nate. He's like, love him like a brother. He basically is my brother. So it's like, Nate could sing, and you can listen to him on Spotify right now if you want to. RD20.
Is it Road 20? Like ROAD 20. Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you tell people now, like, when they ask?
Oh, I tell them it was a gang of autistic children and me.
Nice.
Because autism, everybody now knows, because they got 8 shows with people with autism. Everybody knows somebody with autism now. They didn't know them 5 years ago, but everybody knows with somebody with autism now.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's the new it thing. Definitely autism. Yeah. It's popular as a motherfucker right now.
Yeah, I was telling my buddy Connor the other day, like, I think that kid has autism. I was like, I got jealous for a minute. I was like, well, nobody ever says I think that kid has cerebral palsy. Everybody just says autistic now.
You're like, no, you know? It's different. Now, what was that like with cerebral palsy growing up? Like, did you play any sports?
Yeah, it was horrible at all, but it was fine. I think it's growing up in that community. At the time I grew up there, there wasn't a sensitivity factor towards it.
Why? Because you were in rural Eastern Washington in the 80s, back when nothing was PC?
Yeah, nothing was PC. I mean, I remember in fourth grade, I didn't get expelled from school because some kid was bullying me, so the next day I showed up with a baseball bat to hit him with it. They just gave me in-house, like, fourth grade, Mrs. Beaudry gave me, like, a day in suspension or whatever. She understood why I hit the kid with the bat.
She's like, I didn't hit him yet. I'm just trying to just let him know not to say that anymore.
Yeah. Then, like, when they took the bat away from me, the next recess period, Nathan Mack beat him to death with a basketball. Did beat him to death, but beat him up with a basketball, punched him and threw a basketball.
Oh, that is, I mean, it's such a wide surface. Like, if a nice direct hit with a basketball in the face.
Like, multiple times, yeah.
I got a feeling Nate was probably the big kid in your grade.
No, Nate was he was smaller than me.
Really? He's a big dude now. I mean, I guess he is in his late 30s. He's aged a little bit since you guys were 10.
I was actually the tall kid in school. I was lanky and like I was a, you know.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you've heard stories, like, it's very gay that Thorne came up and talked about how big I was and was like a sophomore in high school.
I don't know if it's your diet or what. I mean, you seem to eat often. I mean, when I was around you, we were eating all the time, but, like, you still managed to just stay, like, I would categorize it as men's health shredded. I mean, there's a picture on your Instagram, which is Davey, Davey Wester, Wester, 12, I believe, on Instagram. And then it's Davey Wester 1 on Twitter. But there's a picture of you boxing. There was a proposed pilot show filmed a couple years ago in Hollywood with a couple big name comedians as referees. And it was comedians boxing each other to go on the road with this big, huge, world-renowned comedian. So Davey fought his roommate, PJ, and there's a bunch of pictures from the fight. Crazy night. I mean, it was awesome. But in those pictures, you can clearly see, I think there's one on your Instagram, but you're just like, oh, okay. So Davey shredded. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, not a great boxer, but he's shredded. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, you're like, hey, at least I'm shredded.
Yeah. No, that's...
And that's probably because Davey also used to walk miles all around Hollywood for years. I mean, you probably logged 1,000 miles up and down Melrose and Sunset.
Yeah, no, and that's the other thing is now I'm not as shredded because I drive a car. And I don't walk anywhere. I just drove 3 blocks from the bar. So,
listeners, by the way, you can catch Davey November 11th at Cuckoo's Comedy Club in Schofield, Wisconsin. November 18th at Benton Station. And I believe it's Sook Rapids, Minnesota. December 3rd at the Ambassador Winery in Woodinville, Washington. December 7th at the Angel of the Winds Casino Resort in Arlington, Washington, north of Seattle. December 13th at the Hawk's Nest, Seattle. December 15th at Murphy's Winery in Seattle. And then east of Seattle, December 16th at Cashmere, Washington. Again, or just go to DaveyWester.com and check those out. But are you excited to – no, I was going to ask you, what'd you think about Kansas City?
Well, Kansas City is a great many twin cities.
The real twin cities.
No, so many twin cities. But
no, I'm just saying Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri, same – same name. No. You don't get more twin than that. That's identical. Versus St. Paul, no. Minneapolis. Two different names, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, they have the same skyline of beauty.
Okay, I got you. But did you enjoyed your time there?
Well, it's all right. I mean, I finally found a place that if you're ever in St. Paul, I'm going to tell you this right now, is Brunson's Pub in St. Paul is probably the best bar in St. Paul. Great owner named Tommy.
Was that Brunson's?
Brunson's Pub, yeah.
Okay, Brunson's Pub.
Yeah, you can put that in there. And Tommy and Steve and Heidi and all those guys, when you go in there, that they treat you like family, and it's great beer and great prices, and they have great food. So, I mean, if, like, somehow the Super Bowl, the Chiefs and the Seahawks get in the Super Bowl, I'll take you to Brunson's Pub.
Look, I mean, if for what that would cost, I would just actually probably try to go to the Super Bowl wherever. Is it in Minnesota this year?
Or is it? Well, I mean, for what it costs, you could watch the game here, I guess, you know. Yeah, because the state of Minnesota is first state ever to tax Airbnb for the Super Bowl. Like, they're really trying to capitalize. So they're getting sued by Airbnb right now. They're trying to tax everything on that.
I mean, look, thousands of rooms, hotel rooms that would then get used but I see what you're saying. But yeah, I may or may not take you up on that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, Mike, that means you have no faith in the Chiefs.
No, I do. I just don't want to go to St. Paul on February 2nd. Even for the Super Bowl. I mean, it's going to be 5 degrees. If it's really nice, it'll be 30, which, you know, is a hot day on February.
Yeah, in February, it might be like 15.
See, that's what I'm talking about, and that's what I'm trying to avoid.
15's all right. You'll be able to, like, just wear a t-shirt when it's 15. 15 is t-shirt weather.
Well, what was your favorite part about our trip?
My favorite part was Springfield, because they have the little Ozark Mountains, and everybody was really good. The Blue Room was awesome. Chris is an awesome guy. I got a new tattoo. Friday the 13th, I got Redneck Pride N13, which my birthday falls on June 13th. So, Voodoo Inc. down there, and you met a guy down there, so go check it out. They have really good tattoo artists down there. I think it was Voodoo Inc. or something like that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it was $13, yeah. Friday the 13th, so it was $13 tattoos with tip. $20. Davey, some new friends of ours that we met were like, hey, we're going to go get $13 tattoos, and Davey jumped all over it.
Yeah, it's a good time. I mean, like, there's a ton of stuff, regardless of, like, in Springfield, Missouri, it was, there was a lot of music, and you had Reggae Fest down there. You had, you had the Hillbenders down there at one point. And it was
Previous guests. Yet Tim Gaither was hosting the Josh Heinrich headlined Springfield Reggae Music Festival, and then we worked with Tim Northern. Shout out to Tim Northern from Louisville. That night he was there hanging out. We got to see Willie Nelson in Kansas City. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, $9 each, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like $10.50. It was kind of raining, so StubHub had the tickets for $10. Yeah, either way, we went. That was sweet. Like I said, DaveyWester.com has some videos. Obviously, follow him on Instagram, DaveyWester 12, and then also on Twitter, DaveyWester 1, I believe. But we follow him with the Sportsaholics account, so you should be able to find him pretty easily. Davey, thanks for coming on, and appreciate your time. Again, sorry about the Twins. Maybe the Wild will get it done. Seahawks, I mean, they look like they're done, so I wouldn't worry about that Seahawks.
Whoa, 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 whoa. We're in first place.
No, I'm just I'm just saying as a dynasty.
You lost two games in a row.
I'm not saying I'm not saying the Chiefs are going to be there. What I'm saying is 3 years ago, Seattle looked like they had this huge dynasty about ready to unfold, and then they just Russell Wilson just not the defense is older, the offense is they're in first place, but that's just because Arizona's down. I mean, the Rams are a lot better and looking good, but I'm just saying they'll make the playoffs, but they're not winning. They're not getting to the Super Bowl.
Well, who else is going to beat them? Aaron Rodgers is out, bro.
No, I know Aaron Rodgers is out, right. but I'm just saying.
I don't like your negativity towards my Hawks.
You guys are just so annoying. It's one of the worst parts about visiting the Northwest is just Seahawk fans. I mean, you make it just. Everywhere you turn, it's like a Seahawk somewhere. You're like, okay, I get it. There's a football team here. Yep, 12th man. All right, cool. But anyway, Davey, stay funny again, listeners. Check it out, Davey Webster.
Comedian or something, and heal me. I don't know. Like, how do you spell it? Does it look like I ever won a spelling bee ever in my lifetime? I went to alternative high school where we had lawn mowing as a course because they knew that we weren't going to be productive members of society. Yeah. Here's the thing about my family. Even my grandmother doesn't know how to put it. And don't be offended. My grandmother's, just because she's old, she's not, you don't have to respect her, because I have to explain why she's stealing half your birthday cake and putting it in her purse. That's real shit. My grandma will do that. My uncle's right over there. He'll verify this shit. That's why I'm turning my back, because he's my accountant.
And thank you, Davey, for coming on again. Follow him, all that social media stuff, just at Davey Webster. We follow him with Sportsaholics, so if you follow us, it'll pop up. It's like Davey Webster 1, I believe, on Twitter, or 12 versus Davey Webster 12 or 1 on Instagram. But very funny comic, as you could. Those are some samplings of his comedic style. But on the website, if you guys ever want to book him or just see if he's coming to your area, you could definitely. Go check that out. And I'm never going to go to a hockey game with him. I don't care how much he tries, because he keeps inviting me up to Minnesota. And so I'm like, look, I'm not going to Minnesota unless it's July or August. Like, I'll take 500 mosquito bites over negative 30 degrees. I just never want to be that cold again. After spending time in North Dakota in the winter, negative 50. Like, I just, there's no reason to put your body through stuff like that. But anyway, Davey, again, thanks for coming on. And again, sorry about those twins in the second Twin Cities. We all know Kansas City is the real Twin City. Same name, two cities, identical name. You know, there's nothing, you know, more twin than identical. But that's really about it this week. I was going to say, as far as shows for myself, I'm going to be up at the District Theater in Gilroy, California, south of San Jose, on Thursday, November 16th. And so any of you guys up in that area, by all means, come on out and have a good time. Davey, obviously, if you go to DaveyWester.com, I know he's going to be up in Schofield, Wisconsin, something, Sook Bay or something, Minnesota, and a bunch of shows in and around Washington, Seattle, that kind of area, coming up in December. So definitely check that out. But real quick too, I wanted to run, I know it was a couple weeks ago, but we all remember the fucking, we all remember this.
His routes and getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny. But fun is coming along, man. This is a big game for him, because of, you know.
That's what ruined Cam Newton. I mean, the apology came out. I mean, a little, yes, this, I don't, disrespectful, yes, but the amount of the big, why was that a big deal? Like, why was that headlines for a week? You know, I mean, look, this is.
A a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and making getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like,
see,
it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny. It is funny. Just the concept of being like, because immediately, look, clearly Cam Newton's crazy, okay, as shit. Like, clearly he's established that he just is that's who he is. And just because Dan and Yogurt dropped him, like, oh shit, everyone, oh my God, not Dan and Yogurt. I mean, all she said was, Funches looked like he enjoyed plowing the shit out of people in his routes. And that was the question, essentially. He goes, oh, it's funny to hear people think about routes. Because in his head, he's probably imagining her in pads, running physical routes in place. I mean, that's what kind of where my mind went. But it's not a big deal. It's not, who gives a shit about Dan and Yogurt? You know, it's kind of where, like, that's, dude, the advertising just runs everything. It's the reason why no one can say anything, because somebody said something controversial, and so now Tide's dropping them. All right, well, screw you, Tide. Like, it's like, because you don't want to be associated with someone that just said something. That's essentially what it, which means now there's pressure on the network to pull that, because now Tide's not going to have their $300,000, you know, to spread out over their reruns or whatever it works out. I happen to think it's entertaining. Lesson learned. I mean, that apology video was one of the best apologies. Let me see if I can just pull that up, because that was, I mean, it was almost worth it just for the apology. Hold on. Sorry for the. All right, here we go. It's probably going to go into commercial. So the apology's 2 minutes, but it was nice, you know, the old be better than me. But to get back to, screw the apology video, but we all heard it. But anyway, what I'm it's like she, but you know, it's like she doesn't know anything about running routes. I mean, I'm sure there's been, like, you can study routes and all that. Yeah, absolutely. But it's like she's never ran a route, like, in pads, you know, in competition. Maybe like for a segment or something, they, you know, here, go 10 and cut. And that's fine, because guess what? Everybody else in that room didn't run routes. Like, all the dudes. Those dudes didn't run routes. Like, look around. Maybe a couple of them did. I mean, a couple of the ex-retired players, but those aren't usually the guys in there asking questions. Those are guys that went to journalism school and, you know, maybe played basketball their freshman year or whatever. But point being, like, those guys didn't run routes either. The problem is it's not worth getting that upset about. You know, it's just like, let them just say dumb stuff, whatever. It doesn't need 4 or 5 days. It would be like, look, if I was on The View and I go, they're talking about tampons, and I go to someone and I was like, well, what about the absorption rate of that tampon? I mean, is it better, you think, than the older model, the older version? And then whoever is sitting seat number two just goes, it's funny to hear you talk about tampons, and then answers the question. Does anyone give a shit at that, like, I'm on the show. I'm the co-host. If it's a guy, that's all I'm saying. Like, it's the same situation. I'm trying to do my job. I'm asking you about tampons, and now you belittle me because I'm a guy, and I'm asking you about tampons. It's the same thing. I'm just saying, and no one's gonna give a shit, because no one should give a shit, because it's not that big of a deal. Okay. All right, so now we're done with episode 151. Guys, thank you so much for listening. As always, reviews on iTunes, Stitcher,
follow Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. It's just Sportsaholics with an X. All that I ask of you is that you stay obsessed.
Well, it's all. Waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong. Well, it's all right, as long as you got somewhere to lay.
Somewhere down the road away, you'll think of me and wonder where I am these days. Maybe somewhere down the road when somebody plays Purple Haze.
Well, it's all right, even when push comes to shove. Well, it's all right.
I'm just glad to be here, happy to feel that. And it don't matter if you're by my side, I'm satisfied.
Well, it's all.